Chapter 43. When Ron got home that afternoon, he heard his phone ringing as he climbed the stairs. By the time he'd gotten inside the door, it had stopped. He put down his bag and took off his coat. Then it started ringing again. "Hello? Ronald?" said a low and husky voice. "This is Lois." Ron's brow furrowed. "Yes," he said tentatively. "Your mother's in the hospital. She's had a heart attack." A cold rush like ice water flushed through his body, and then he felt his face starting to get hot. "Where is she?" "Mountainside." "I'm on the way." He drove like traffic signals and speed limits didn't matter. He had one thought, and it pounded in his head. Get there. Get there. He parked his car in the emergency room parking area and ran into the hospital. He had forgotten his jacket, but didn't feel the cold. His face was flushed and his eyes were darting in one direction after the other. He went to the desk. "I just heard that my mother has had a heart attack," he said breathlessly to the matronly woman with white hair who sat in back of the desk. "What is the patient's name?" she said, without showing any kind of emotion. Ron hated her instantly. "Marjorie Bombasco," said Ron, biting the words off and showing his teeth. The woman leafed through the pages of a notebook. Then the phone rang, and she stopped to answer it. Ron gripped the counter hard, his fingers turning white. Then he saw Lois standing at the other end of the hall and started running towards her. People's heads turned as he raced by. The security officer started to move in his direction, but Ron had already reached Lois and stopped. "They're bringing her upstairs," Lois said. She was fighting back tears and losing the battle. "What did they say? Who is the doctor?" Ron felt a hand on his shoulder and whirled on the security guard. "What?" he said, his fist clenched. The guard looked past him to Lois. "Is everything okay, ma'am?" Ron shrugged his shoulder away from the grip. "His mother just had a heart attack," said Lois. The guard nodded and took a step back away from Ron. "You have to calm down, sir. You weren't doing your mother or yourself any good by getting all riled up." Ron tried to get hold of himself. He nodded. "Okay. Okay," he said. "Ronald, she wants me to go home and get her some things. She's very scared. I told her that you would be here." Ron looked around as if he could find his mother in one of these rooms. Everything was moving very fast. "Sir," said the security guard, "just take a moment before you run upstairs. You look pretty upset, and you don't want your mom to be frightened by the sight of you." Ron took a long, deep breath and forced himself to relax and to breathe. Then he said, "She couldn't possibly be any more frightened than she is right now." The cardiac care unit, or CCU, was for intense care. Ron found Marjorie lying on her back, the hospital bed raised up in the back, staring at the machines that depicted the regularity of her heartbeat, her blood pressure, and a number of other things that Ron did not understand. She looked up at him with a face frightened, her eyes wide with wonder and terror. She did not smile when she saw him, but tears started rolling down her cheeks. "Brother," she said, "look what happened to me." "How did this happen, Mom?" "I don't know. I was at the ceramic shop. I've been so nervous lately, and I had this pain in my chest, and I told Bumpy that I thought I needed to go to the hospital." She stopped and looked into his face. "I don't like it here. I want to go home." "I know," said Ron, sitting down on a chair next to the bed, "but we can't do that right now. You need to be here, but I'll stay with you." He reached out and took her left hand. She squeezed his fingers weakly. "I don't want to be like this," she said, and a sob came out of her chest. It frightened Ron. His mother's fears were always her worst enemy, and hospitals were one of her nightmares. "But, Mom, it's important to be smart right now. I know how upset you are. You know that I know." She looked at him and nodded in understanding. He had been her partner when she went through the hardest times of her adult life. Maybe he had only been a boy for most of them, but they had forced him to accept certain responsibilities and roles, and she had grown to trust him, and she needed someone to trust right now, and he was one of the only people in the world who filled the bill. "Do you know the name of the doctor who is treating you?" She shook her head. "When we left the store, we couldn't get the car out. It was blocked in by people who had double parked. We blew the horn over and over, but no one came out. You know how that neighborhood is." Ron nodded and cursed the neighborhood silently. The loud-mouthed jerks who parked wherever they wanted because some uncle or cousin knew somebody who would make everything right if there was any trouble. Finally, someone came out by then. The pain was so bad. "It hurts so much, brother." She began to sob again. Ron squeezed her fingers and said, "Okay, I understand. When we finally did get out, we drove to Dr. Gunder's office, and he saw me right away, but he said he thought I was having a heart attack and I should get to the hospital." Ron snorted. "He didn't call an ambulance?" "No ambulance," she said, shaking her head from side to side on the pillow. Then she caught sight of the monitors again and just stared at them. Ron understood immediately. The doctor had wanted to get an ambulance, but she had gotten upset, and he thought it was worse to upset her in the condition that she was in. So he told her to drive to the hospital. To Ron's way of thinking, he should have gone along with her, but he knew that was expecting too much. "When I got here, they took me right away, and now I'm here." "And this is a good place for you to be. It's a good hospital, and they have good doctors. It isn't Clara Mass, where you can get on the staff by being somebody's whatever." Marjorie nodded. Dr. Jacob Gutberg appeared in the doorway and looked at Ron and then at Marjorie. He was a short, bald man with dark glasses, a white coat, and a pocket protector from which stuck a number of single, slender silver pens. He moved to Marjorie and said softly, "How are you feeling?" Marjorie smiled and took a breath. She tried to laugh. "I'm very scared, doctor." "I can understand that, Mrs. Bombasco, but we're going to get you all better and on your feet in no time, as long as you are able to do as we say." "I just want to go home, doctor." "I'm afraid that isn't possible right now. You know that you have had an episode. We think that it might have been a heart attack. What a heart attack means is that a little piece of your heart stopped working. The rest of your heart took over. And right now your heart is working fairly well, considering what it has been through. But we are going to keep you in this unit for the next few days to monitor you and to make sure that your heart is doing what it should be doing to heal itself." "And then I can go home?" "Then we can begin to talk about what treatment options we have, Mrs. Bombasco. This is a serious situation, and the hospital and I would be doing our jobs incorrectly if we sent you home right now. It would not be in your best interest." Marjorie nodded. The tears began rolling down her cheeks again. Ron looked at her, then over at the doctor. They made eye contact. "Are you a relative?" Marjorie spoke before Ron was able to say anything. "This is my son, Ronald." Good to meet you, Ronald. I'm Dr. Gutberg. I was on duty when your mom came in. Do you know if she has a cardiologist? No, said Ron, just a regular doctor. Jacob Gutberg raised his eyebrow. Well, she's going to need a cardiologist now. Mrs. Bombasco, we've given you something for the pain, and maybe we should give you a sedative to help calm you. I don't want to lose control. The doctor smiled. You won't lose control of anything. You'll just feel more relaxed. Being frightened will more likely cause you to lose control than being calm. Ron liked the doctor's approach. He was straightforward and at the same time soothing. Have you ever taken tranquilizers? I took Librium 10 for a long time, but not recently, said Marjorie. Okay, that's an old drug. We will give you something very much the same, only a bit more up to date. When the doctor stepped out into the hallway, Ron followed him. How is she, doctor? It's too soon to tell, but what I said about the next couple of days is important. Sometimes one of these attacks is followed by a second one. When she gets through the next 48 hours, I will be more confident. Could she die? There are, as I'm sure you know, fatalities connected with heart attacks. We have to just wait and see. Ron stayed with her and they talked about familiar topics and told old stories. The time that she waited to go down to the shore and had started getting nervous before they even got on the parkway, and how he had talked to her and soothed her and talked her exit by exit, telling her that she could just turn off again in a couple of miles if she needed to, but that she was doing so well and that she could get there. How he told her that she could do it, and that after a while that she had believed him and heard nothing but his voice as he kept at it, kept talking to her, mile after mile, telling her how brave she was and how much he loved her. Marjorie smiled and closed her eyes and pretended she was in the car with him again. He held her hand, and then he told the stories about how he used to meet her after work every night. She asked him to tell her about some of the movies that they had seen together. I remember that you used to go to get great movie passes, and we would go to Woolworths and buy sandwiches and sneak them into the movies. I remember when we saw West Side Story. We sat in the front row of the balcony and we ate our sandwiches and watched the huge screen and the way that the movie started with the helicopter and the different buildings and then the playground and the guy snapping his fingers. She squeezed his hand. You've got some memory. Those were very happy times, said Ron. But we were so poor, Mom. We weren't even sure that we could make the rent on the apartment. And here we were, going to the movies. We were poor, but we had fun. We enjoyed each other's company so much. I wanted to be with you more than I wanted to be with anyone in the world. I never treated you like a little boy. Who could treat you like a little boy with that brain and that vocabulary? Ron laughed and patted her hand. My brain didn't make me older, Mom. But it made it feel like you were older. I could talk to you about anything, and you understood. It was dark by the time that Lois came back with her things. Ron had watched as she picked at her dinner and made faces at the taste of everything. Lois went through the list of the things that she had gotten for Marjorie. Then Lois said, George was at the house. Ron's face hardened. Did you tell him? Lois nodded. Yes. He said that he hoped that you felt better. Marjorie began to weep again. Ron said, that's not going to help anything, Mom. Marjorie said, why does he have to be such a cold-hearted bastard? Lois said. That's just what he is, that's all. Ron said quietly, Listen, Mom, it's getting late. I have to go and you should rest. I'll be back in the morning. What about work? Said Marjorie. I'm going to take the day off. I haven't taken a sick day since I started there. Don't get into trouble, brother. There won't be any trouble, said Ron. He kissed her goodnight. Lois said that she was going to stay with her until they made her leave. Ron nodded.